Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to New Zealand's only five-day-a-week Truther Talk radio show. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'm not being arrogant. It's the truth. And it's verifiable using the trivium.
Well, from henceforth, wherever you started using it, right?
Well, and you've given me such poise here, Jan, with this trivium here, because I have actually kind of been very flippant. I would actually say even lazy with this radio show, inviting anybody on, whatever, don't even look at their website, don't do the research. Today I started to do something different, and I listened to an interview with you, I looked through your website, and did more research on any guests that I've done on the show to date, right? And I found it's actually improved it a bit, because it takes away some of the guesswork, and it gives a certainty. Yes. Now, upon certainty, you can base strong actions, and with uncertainty, the best thing to do is not act. And I've been feeling very uncertain about things because I didn't know about the trivium and how to verify things and how to separate what is fact, what is fiction, what matters, and how much my actions really, truly have an effect. No matter how positive or negative my attitude is, my actions trump those.
And now you know why I always read the books and everything of the people that I have on my show. As, you know, that is doing your grammar so that you have a clear understanding of their work. And a lot of times, you know, if I am doing research on somebody and I find that, whoa, no, this is a bad way. And certainly people have gotten past me and fooled me. But, you know, the whole idea is to filter them out. And, you know, it's just not my own practice to let everybody in and let the audience figure it out. Because when you... when you send mental viruses downstream, then you know, then you're the source of that problem from everybody downline from you. And you know, if if you send out a lie and a whole bunch of people believe in it, not only have you wasted your time, but you've wasted every single person's time who's involved in that belief downline from you. So anything that we can do to check ourselves and the information before we send it downstream is important. And this is why grammar always goes first, that who, what, where, when, why. Who is this person? What are they doing? What are they selling? Why are they selling it? When, you know, what's going on with this situation? Then, you know, and when we look at the person's information by knowing logic and the fallacies, then we can go through and spot anything, you know, and of course we're human, so we're still going to make mistakes. So that's why there's the fallacy, and you're always aware of that. So even if you spot a fallacy, you still check the information. You know, for instance, let's say, you know, the boy who cries wolf, or the, you know, the guy on top of the hill who's always causing trouble in the village. He's constantly running down the hill and screaming, hey, you know, the army on the other side is coming to kill us all, you know, and 9 times out of 10, the guy's just messing with the townspeople, right? You know, and people are just like, oh, you know, like the boy who cried, well, he's just messing with us. You know, fool me once, fool me twice. I'm not going to look. So one day, the enemy army really is coming, and the village idiot is up there, and he comes down screaming, hey, man, using all this appeal to fear and everything, just like the previous times, only this time it's real. You know, so the difference is, you know, even if somebody is selling 95% BS, just by using a little bit of checking, we can take the 5% that might be truth, and it might save our lives. So, you know, we go up and we stick our heads up over the hill and we look and we go, oh, crap, the enemy army is coming. Hey, everybody, get your shields, your weapons, your guns, your swords, whatever the case may be. Let's buckle up and protect ourselves. And this may be, you know, what saves your life or whatever. So, you know, just like I said, just because you spot a fallacy or whatever, you don't, you know, dismiss it. You still want to check into it. And you don't kill the messenger. You don't poison the well. You don't commit these types of fallacies against people. You know, if somebody writes a book on one subject that is wrong or ends up getting proved wrong, it doesn't mean that anything they ever produce henceforth is also wrong.
I was thinking this how exactly to run an information source that's totally credible and has a strong filtering process so that people can 100% implicitly trust your information.
Well, and you know, see, that's the key.
I found the key is to pay a heck of a lot more attention and do more preparation and more fact-checking before you go ahead into it. And essentially,
you can never be 100%, I don't think. But, you know, you can, you know, like I said earlier, people will always find new ways to lie and trick people, but you can filter out the biggest ones, the main ones. Most of the time, you can catch on to them. But you have to be very careful in, you know, appealing to your authority. The best way to do it is to spread the information on exactly how the Trivium works so that, you know, you do your best to filter that information before you send it downstream, but you also empower everybody with the tools that you're using and you show them exactly how it works so that they're on the same page with you and checking the information. You know, when they're not on the same page with you, it's these people that refuse to read something before they judge it, right? A few weeks ago, this guy Simon Powell went on Red Ice Radio out of Sweden and did this 25-minute screed against my work, and he had never studied any of my work. So all he did was reveal himself as completely 100% ignorant on public radio for 25 minutes. I mean, you know, it's just, and if he ever wakes up to the sheer amount of lies and BS that he told, and of course he got a lot of emails and attacks for doing that. And so if he ever goes and reads my work and actually studies it, then he's going to have to own up to all of these lies that he sold, right? And
it was Mark Twain said that when an honest man finds out that he is wrong, he will either cease to be wrong or cease to be honest.
Exactly right. And, you know, and it's like, you know, this guy, Simon Powell, the first sentence of his book starts off with all these quotes of Einstein, you know, and it's ironic because Einstein is quoted as saying, as I put on the very first page of my Holy Mushroom book that Simon didn't read, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance. Right. So this is the key theme. Again, it's putting your grammar, your who, what, where, and when before your why. Okay, so it's, you know, you don't condemn something until you've spent a few minutes looking at it. You know, once you know the fallacies, if somebody is using an appeal to ridicule, ah, ha, 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 that's a conspiracy theory, or, you know, an ad hominem, you're a conspiracy theorist, or, you know, an appeal to belief. Oh, do you really believe that these people would do something like that? Do you think that that is really sane? Are you just, you know, woohoo? You know, so when you see people using these types of tactics, these are fallacies, they're lies, and that should automatically trigger you to look into that information past this smokescreen, right?
Yeah. Because when you're actually in a conversation with these people and it's a real back and forth and a debate, if you've got the truth on their side and they've got nothing, all you need to do is just question what they've got. And
well, sure. You can point out the fallacies, too. And what's interesting is, you know, people will often call you a snob or an elite or some other fallacy if you explain the fallacies in Latin terms, just for knowing the Latin definitions, which it helps you to understand and spot the lies when you use Latin. So obviously, you know, there's a trick to rhetoric. I tend to prefer the hard approach. Others tend to prefer a softer approach with people like, you know, if, you know, I'll explain to somebody, you know, just read the research and go through the citations and show me point by point how it's wrong. Don't just say, oh, that's wrong because ha, 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 ha. And then when I ignore their comments, then they say, oh, well, you're not taking feedback. It's like, well, you didn't even study the work. How do you even know my work to give feedback on it? What possible value could you give to something that you didn't spend the 5 or 10 minutes to look at first? Your response, your quote-unquote feedback, is entirely emotional and completely 100% irrelevant to anything I wrote. You know, and it's like in my Gordon Wasson piece that I wrote on, you know, the secret history of magic mushrooms and his involvement with the CIA and CFR. Well, interestingly, I got all of these attacks from these people that were, you know, well, you know, you're contradicting all of your old work. And, you know, so what, you know, everything that you put out before is now invalid because now you're saying that, you know, the MK Ultra is still active. These were in irrelevant points. But what people failed to notice, because they didn't even bother to read the paper, was that it was dedicated to the mushrooms in the, you know, in the conclusion of the Wasson paper. And so they completely just omitted that. You know, they don't even see, you know, it's you know, what they think is that if I'm exposing how the psychedelics have been misused and usurped to fool us, they think, or they jump to the conclusion that I'm saying that entheogens don't have value. So, you know, there's a total disconnect there. These are two separate issues here. And so, you know, just because I'm pointing out that people with ill intentions can misuse them and fool you with them and get you into all of these new age positive thinking stuff so that you're not balanced, that is a completely different issue than saying, you know, yes, you know, what I am saying, which is, yes, they do have value, but use them in tandem with the trivium so that you have a systematic way to check the information that you're going through. And, you know, in all honesty, to me, the proper application of the trivium is the same as the full-blown psychedelic experience.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you see through the you see through the illusion that's put in front of you.
Exactly. Let me make a point here. So, you know, when you have that psychedelic experience, that full-blown out-of-body experience where you can, you know, you come down the next day and you're coming down and you say, I just need to hang on to all of this so that I can remember it all and see it and all of the clarity that I had here, so that I can bring that back into my daily life. And then you wake up the next morning and you've forgotten the whole thing, right? Or, you know, the key, you know, a lot of the main stuff and how you did it. Well, what I find is that the trivium and the quadrivium together is exactly that. You know, so it's like when you're in that clarity of the experience and then you come back and you lose it all, it's because we go back into our fallacious ego minds and believing in all of the fallacies and stuff that we follow, rather than having that certainty and clarity that we have through the entheogenic experience. And then, as I mentioned earlier, that all ties into the Kabbalah and everything. So if you don't think that there's a spirituality tied into this stuff, then go out and research it. The trick is that they've put, you know, they've trivialized the trivium. They've taken the word liberal and they've made it communist, right? And they've done all of these tricks to get people to not even look over there. And when you discover that it's the seven liberal or liberating arts that is the key behind the whole thing, grammar, logic, rhetoric, and then you have the quadrivium, which is arithmetic, geometry, music, and astronomy. Now, arithmetic is number in itself. Geometry is number in space. Music is number in time. Astronomy is number in space and time. So this, all of these together gives you a systematic way to go through and check things out in reality. The mathematics, the measurements, the all of this different stuff that they don't want us to think that we have the ability to do, and then put these quantum physics ideas in front of us. You know, and then this goes into the whole Crowleyan do what thou wilt stuff. You know, there is no right and wrong, and then we're just free to just do whatever we feel like that violates natural law. You know, and for those interested in studying natural law, I recommend they study Mark Passio's research at What on Earth is Happening, as he breaks down all of that and shows how natural law is key. You know, so these people that the Kantians that promote this stuff, it's all about, and the Crowleyans, et cetera, it's all about this do what thou wilt, and there is no good or bad. There, you know, there is no violation of natural law. And then these people have what they think is justification for going around and doing whatever evil to others that they feel like doing because they're lesser than them, rather than raising people up. You know, see, I could take the trivium and I could start some massive cult movement and I can control hundreds of thousands of people at a time with it. or I could give it to everybody and level the playing field so that nobody can do that, you see. And so that's the difference in the approach. When somebody uses something for bad, for the manipulation of others versus the empowerment of others. And, you know, to our knowledge, this is the first time that the Trivium has ever been dispensated out to the masses in this way to level the playing field against the elite.
Mm. Well, it must be done. And the people who question it are very archetypal, and they're very easy to slap down because they're so predictable and inferior. It is like a creation thinking it's better than its creator.
Well, you know, and what happens is these people get so caught up in their fallacious thinking and not even willing to look at it that, you know, you can predict every single one of their arguments before they ever make them.
That's entirely correct. And this is what I don't understand about a lot of people who try to be in this movement. You know that morons are going to give you stupid, moronic answers. Then why don't you come up with some preset retorts, baby? We'll be right back after the break.